gentlemen, welcome to the main event.
Welcome to WHW Monday, Tony Schiavone and Conrad Thompson.
Jim Crockett, First Arcade, 605 NWA, TV title, Cajun Omni, the Bunkhouse Stampede, Flair and Horseman, Garvin, Bogey, Magnum, Dusty, Express Tag Team, Turner, Bond, and Mid-South Joint World Championship Wrestling.
Talking about the great years of World Championship Wrestling, the NWA, and Jim Crockett Promotion.
Tony and First North, they win. Look, Schiavone's back again. World title split off center stage. Bischoff, Disney, Hogan, and Nitro. New World Order and the Crow. Thunder Russo, Arquette Champ, Vinnie Mac, simulcast. Tony's back with Conrad. Not your classy podcast. Watch along, try not to laugh. Lois rules, cat bat. This wasn't the initial plan. Tom's a good-looking man. Klondike Bill, make a chair. Tommy, you come over here.
What happened when?
WHW Monday. And now, let's go to the ring. And here's your co-host. Hey, hey, it's Conrad Thompson.
All right, so let's get to it. A little bonus action for you here on Patreon. Shout out to our man Carl for coming up with this one. We had tons of requests about this, Tony, and we're not going to watch the whole thing now. Maybe we'll do this. I don't know. Maybe we should do this as like a New Year's Eve deal. I don't know.
Yeah.
WCW All-Nighter 1995. You know what? Fuck it, Tony. I'm calling it now. That's what we're doing for New Year's Eve this year. It'll be the 25 year anniversary. Hell yeah. So I'm excited to do this too.
All right.
This is going to be fun, man. We're not watching the whole thing, but we are going to catch this first match, Steamboat in Austin. You know, that was good shit, especially in, you know, 94, 95. So shout out to Carl for pitching this one.
Thanks, Carl. You're a good man. And it's given us, given Conrad, the man of ideas, the man of ideas, the idea guy in this whole setup here, and I, him an idea that on New Year's Eve, we will sit down together, all of us, and watch the all-nighter. Or maybe, here's a better thing. Why don't we do an all-nighter and videotape it and put it on Patreon?
I'm not opposed to that at all.
Yeah, we can do that.
We can do it over the Christmas holiday too, because we're both going to be very festive this year. I can already tell.
Yeah, I'm going to be very festive. That is, footnote here, asterisks if we're alive.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
Well, we could be dead by then. Listen, I mean, we could be dead by COVID-19. You know, be
down.
It could be COVID-20 by then.
Guys, I want you to pull up your WWE Network. Click on the search icon. You got to do a search for this one.
Yeah.
And type in all-nighter. Night, of course, is N-I-G-H-T-E-R. All-nighter. And just type in all-nighter. Scroll down. You'll see the full episode. It's over 4.5 hours. It's from January 20th, 1995. So technically we passed the 25 year anniversary, but you guys get the goddamn sentiment. New Year's Eve, here we come. But I'm excited to do this because there's a lot of fun elements that happened with the announced crew here. We won't see a ton of that here, but we'll at least set the premise and get you guys ready for what's coming on New Year's Eve. Tony, do you have WCW All-Nighter 1995 pulled up, muted, and at 000?
I do.
Well, without further ado, I think you should give us a little bit of a countdown. 3, 2, 1, play. When you say play, we'll press play together.
And we'll track it, I would guess, at the same time.
We're going to track the very beginning. You're darn right.
Okay. So I'll say 3, 2, 1, play, and then you say track it. Here we go. 3, 2, 1, play.
Track it. I love that old theme song. I don't even know why. Just, it's so 80s and 90s, that fucking sure. Saxophone.
Yeah, the sax does it, man.
Showing some old classic Jim Crockett and some more modern Vader stuff here in early 95.
I Well, hi, everyone. TBS and World Championship Wrestling present the Wrestling All-Nighter. Yes, for the next 6 hours, you're going to be up all night with the superstars of World Championship Wrestling. We're going to give you the top 10 matches ever in the Clash of the Champions. In addition, some matches you've never seen before on free TV. Come on in with us. We're going to introduce you to our great broadcast team. You see over there in the King's chair, there is Mean Gene Okerlund. Of course, Gene with us each and every Saturday night. My good, close, longtime personal friend, Bobby the Brain Heenan. The pro team here, Gordon Sully to our right over there. Hello, Gordon. Good to see you with us. And, of course, the two superstars with us as well. It's the American Dream, Dusty Rhodes, three-time world heavyweight champion. And, of course,
I was
the
ask,
world television champion of not too Bob long ago, Larry Zbyszko. Gentlemen, I
have... Tony, you got something for Gordon's coffee?
Yes, I do.
Hey, Shimani, where's the Biffy?
The
Biffy.
The Biffy.
The bathroom.
Oh, the bathroom.
That one here?
I'm sorry. Let me say this, we did not go to my rec room this time. If you'll recall, you guys left the place in shambles last time. That's right. And my wife would not let us go to my house.
Hey, all your wife has to do is plug that vacuum cleaner and start pushing it a little bit. Place to get clean.
Thank you, Bobby. Nevertheless, we had to check into the Omni Hotel here in Atlanta, but we'll be watching TV here in just a few moments. Gentlemen.
Hey,
let's talk about the Clash.
How about a cold one here, Tony? First, huh? I don't want to kick it off like this.
Can we get to our what the people tuned in for, our matches?
Well, if you insist.
Okay, the top 10 matches from all time, the Clash of the Champions, and one of the greatest matches from our Clash of the Champions happened this past August when Ricky Steamboat the Dragon faced Stunning Steve Austin for the U.S. Heavyweight title.
And this is number 10?
This is number 10.
Number 10.
Number 10.
And we're going to count them down to number 1.
That's exactly right. We're going to count them down to number 1.
I'm ready.
And then the peach is going to drop.
Gordon, come on.
The peach is not going to drop.
Stuff in here for the coffee.
Yeah. Well, do you need some coffee? Do you need to stay awake here?
No, I don't need any coffee. I need to know if you got a Biffy here.
Yeah.
It's okay, good. Just so I know. It's not a pay one, is it? Go ahead.
All right. Cedar Rapids, Iowa, the Clash of the Champions, Ricky the Dragon Steamboat and Stunning Steve U.S. Heavyweight title. It's match number 10 at the top 10 of all time, the Clash of the Champions. Here we go.
Dude, what a fucking great segment that was. Do you disagree?
No, I loved it. And Lois was notorious back in 1995, wasn't she?
Dude, I mean, already legendary for her lack of cleanliness and inability to control the dog hair. I mean, she was fucking nationwide TV 25 years ago. I won't hear any more shit from that woman.
Hey, there's another. I want to, after we finish this match, just track the next segment if we could. And I know we got another match that we're not going to talk about, but here we got Steamboat and Steve Austin, but I want to track it because there's an Easter egg in those shots.
I'd be glad to, you know, here's the other thing I wanted to ask you about. You referenced here on the segment that, you guys left my rec room in shambles last time.
Right.
So my wife wouldn't let me do it there again.
Yeah.
So I guess there was a WCW All Nighter 94. And this was the second year doing the concept.
Yeah. Yeah. We had more than one and I don't know how many we had. Maybe we just had two.
Right.
Blacktop Bully, but we did have more than one and, yeah. So, but we had we really had fun shooting it. And you know, I was looking at that shot, Conrad, just me and Zbyszko.
Yeah.
Remain. Except there's an Easter egg that we're really going to get ready. We're really going to shit on that Easter egg.
Okay. Can't wait.
Okay.
Let me ask though, was there a real issue with the way the place was left? Did Lois, put her foot down and say not in 95?
No, we did them all at the Omni.
Just because it was right by the building, right?
That's right. We made it seem like it was my rec room.
Right.
You see, just so everybody on Patreon knows, especially our buddy Carl Mandic, not everything that comes out of my mouth on a wrestling show is real. It's something I've got to teach Lois too. You see, she thinks a lot of times things are real on a show and they're not. And in other words, she thinks but there really is something between me and Britt Baker.
She does not really think that.
Oh yeah. She said,
oh my God. Are you mean to tell me that you married a fucking Mark?
Yes, I guess I did. And I told her, she said, Britt Baker, she is so mean to you. And she talked so down to you. I said, Lois, she said, she had to be a bully in school. She's just not a nice person. I said, for crying out loud. And my daughter was even on a phone call with us on FaceTime. And she said, Mom, I'm going to take a picture of me and Britt Baker together and just send it to you. whenever I get to meet her. She just doesn't get it. She doesn't get it.
It's unbelievable to me that, I mean, I guess it makes sense. I mean, you'd have to be a mark to let Tony Schiavone nut in you five times.
Four. I had twins, you son of a bitch.
Well, okay. I figured you got at least one other time in 40 years of marriage.
One would think and hope. How about Stunning Steve or Stone Cold with the Dragon Slayer on his tights here? And we saw Hogan being wheeled out. I guess this is what happened earlier in the Clash of the Champions. Not sure. That's not the focus of what we're doing here. But Blacktop Bully was there. Ricky Steamboat. These two, I would think, would have the potential to have a pretty good darn match.
Oh, you're exactly right. Take a look at Steve Austin, too. He's got some facial hair and sideburns. He's sporting some different looks here, and I kind of dig it.
Yeah. Austin had such great timing even back then. I mean, the guy could do anything, and everybody knew it, but obviously we didn't do much about it, did we?
Right.
Except hand him to them on a silver platter. And thus he became the biggest star ever. And of course the guy he's against, not a bad star either.
No, one of the best.
And I like this side headlock takeover, drive him down to the mat. I'm digging this. Notice the old, in the background, we just saw the old Clash of the Champions purple background. Shitty looking back. Yeah, there it is. I mean, it was there. It's just like a big glowing purple. Purple was the color, right? It was the WCW color. Okay, how about my God, Ron Kirk talking to Bobby Heenan. Ron Kirk, a legendary TBS employee, cameraman, stage manager, talking to Heenan. And I guess right now, Heenan was getting an update on Hogan. You want to track, see if he's going to say anything here?
Sure.
Yeah. Ron.
Well, that's news.
One, two, got a two count.
I don't know if the people could hear him, and he said somebody came running out the back, all dressed in black. Left Hogan with about a 3-foot piece of pipe. And he says he doubted if Hogan will ever wrestle again. He said his career could be over. Hit him right flush in the kneecap.
Well, we'll just have to wait and see. And hopefully we'll be getting a report from Eric Bischoff in a few moments.
It's the Nancy Kerrigan angle.
All over again.
Yes. How about that?
And you know what? Tanya. That was the hot shit in 94, in fairness.
Yeah, it was. It was. And yeah, how about this for being a dumbass? I didn't even remember we did that.
Until right now
that we did a Nancy Kerrigan angle. And Bischoff was being the reporter. Bischoff was in the, as you see, the ambulance, and was in there with Hogan, probably striking out an extension on his deal.
I love you.
Not sure.
We should mention that, what happened right before this is Hogan came out for the interview. They do the Nancy Kerrigan masked man thing. And it's really Arn Anderson who, hits him with the gimmick in the knee.
I remember that now.
This is for the United States Championship. In case you're out of the loop here, they're going to go 16 minutes and 5 seconds. The match would get 3¾ stars in the Observer. The readers of the Wrestling Observer gave this show 46.9% thumbs down, only 30.6% thumbs up, 22.5% thumbs in the middle. But this won the best match poll in a runaway. It got 196 votes. Second place was Flair and Hogan, and it got 55. Also worth mentioning, Inoki wrestles William Regal on this same Clash.
Oh,
what a fucking clash, man.
Wow. Absolutely. Wow. Inoki and Regal.
Right.
Holy shit. Yeah. We're going to have to put this Clash up and watch it in January.
I'm kind of shocked we haven't covered it already.
Or whenever
I'm
it is. Yeah. I am too.
Myself. Yeah. I should have done better. I failed you.
Well, we'll get to it. I mean, it's not like COVID-19's gotten us yet.
Yeah. We got a couple more days left before.
Yeah.
Before we get the sweet embrace from Jesus.
Yeah. So, yeah, do you know why it was mostly thumbs down by the Observer poll?
Why is that?
Because Hogan was here. Oh, now.
Yeah. And we hated Hogan.
And we hated Hogan. They hated Hogan, the Observer.
Oh, yeah, not me and you. Fuck, I'm a Hogan Mark.
No, yeah, no, but the Observer guys.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, those people. I'm sorry. I shouldn't call you those people. But the readers, they love Meltzer, who hated Hogan. They followed him behind him. I get it back then. This had a big Hogan angle going through it, and they just didn't like anything. And they were pissed off now, right? Hogan, this was the year Hogan arrived.
Yeah, well, 94. Yeah.
So I get it. And I get that they said this was the best match and run away. It wouldn't surprise me at all. Cedar Rapids would also be, if I'm correct, Cedar Rapids. Were the Cedar Rapids was the first
sold out.
Yeah. How about that?
How about I knew where you were going?
How about that? We've been working together too long. Oh, chopped his ass down.
I recently talked to Ron Funches, and he told me how remarkable it was to go back and listen to you call wrestling in this, 94, 95 era of WCW, where you're being the Excalibur role, calling all the moves and fancy names and trying to teach Dusty Rhodes. And now life's come full circle. Now you're Dusty Rhodes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And wait a minute. I don't know how to take that. But I am learning. I know what a backstabber is. Know what a tope suicida is.
You know what a shattered machine. Well, they're probably calling it something else now.
I'm getting to know all this stuff and really enjoying it. Having a great time.
And we're having fun seeing you on TV again, man. I wish we could see these guys on TV again.
Yeah, I do too.
I really do wonder, my gosh, big bump there.
Cameraman took a bump, and that's probably Jackie Crockett that took that bump off the apron, because he had that camera on the apron.
Holy shit. It looks like our referee here, who we know usually looks like a Kenny Power stunt double. Of course, we're talking about Nick Patrick. It looks like he just did a stint. He had to spend the weekend at the Crossbar Hotel. He's on a work release program. Quite the haircut here. Look at Ricky the Dragon Steamboat standing on the top rope here. I don't remember seeing that before.
Oh,
a very simple but effective. Everybody can sort of understand it.
Yeah.
And down, man, that's a signature move right there, isn't it?
Good stuff. Yes, sir.
When you think of Ricky going to the top rope, that's what you think of him coming down with. And this is sort of old school, working a body part, sort of like you did on your first date with Lois.
Yes. And a lot of bitching and moaning going on from the blacktop bully, like is going on in my house right now, 39 years later.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Makes sense.
Oh yeah. I'm digging this match. And I'm kind of, as we're looking at this match and talking about it, I'm kind of looking ahead here of some of the things that we got. We're going to, coming out of this, we're going to have Gordon Solie and Dusty. Talk about Vader a little bit. Love to track that, because hopefully we can see that Easter egg that we're really going to be able to shit on. And I'll tell you a story behind that if we get a glimpse of it.
I'm really excited about that.
Yeah.
I can hardly contain my excitement.
I can tell. Some bitch.
I'm just trying to make you laugh.
I know. Hey, so how's Dave Silva doing? Has he been doing any work this week at all?
Well, it was a big week. Their son has a heart issue, and he's an adorable little fella.
He sure is. And I'm sorry about that. I didn't know that.
Yeah. It's been a long time struggle. And so they had a big doctor's visit last week, and they were hoping to get good news, but they had to wait a whole week. And this week they got good news. It's not the best news they ever got, but it's not bad news. And that's what they were hoping to avoid. So that was really Dave's focus this week. And I'm sure he's done some graphics and other stuff for us that I don't even know about, but all I remember about Dave this week is that it was a big day for little man.
Yeah, that's good. I know we give Dave a hard time. Well deserved.
Of course.
But that is great news, and I'm glad. And I'm glad, I hope, and I'm assuming, why not? Because of all the things that go in Huntsville, great health care in Huntsville, Alabama, in that area.
Oh yeah, absolutely. But he didn't do it here. He went to King of the Hill. He went to Vanderbilt in Nashville.
Oh my God. So, all right. No, that's good.
Doesn't get any better than that.
No, there you go. And that's what it's called, King of the Hill in Nashville.
No. I was just saying, as far as hospitals go, it's gotta be like Mayo Clinic and
yeah.
MD Anderson, somewhere right in there. Vanderbilt's on the list.
Yep. Right. These kids are bumping here, man.
Dude, they're working their ass off. And, you know, it's funny because I was asking Arn the other day on one of our Ask Arn episodes about, hey, if you never had a singles match at WrestleMania, if you could go back in time in your prime and have a singles match with one guy at WrestleMania, this is going to be your WrestleMania moment, who would you pick? And he said, he waited, hesitated for a minute, and then he said, Ricky Steamboat.
Wow.
And I thought, man, what a compliment.
Yeah.
To a guy who checked a lot of boxes in his career, but he's got one box he didn't quite check yet, and he could do it with anybody. It's a dream scenario. Not who was on the roster at the time, just a dream scenario. And he picked you. Man, that says a lot, I think.
That is tremendous. And here's another question that you may want to have for Arn next time you talk to him. Say that would that Nancy Kerrigan black outfit that you put on in 1994 fit you now?
Oh my God. What's wrong with you? You know what I love? It's Arn is still learning technology.
Yeah.
So every now and again, I'll get a message that if me or you sent it to one another, we would just bust each other's balls like you wouldn't believe.
Right.
But because I know, shit, man, Arn don't know. Just help him out.
I wish he'd send it to me.
Oh, I know you would shoot all over.
Because I would. Oh, God, I have so much fun with him and Malenko. Oh, and Billy Gunn and those guys. Oh, geez.
Billy Gunn is way funnier than people give him credit for.
Oh, my God. You just, I know people have said this before. You can tell we're having a good time on the air, but the good time is like, look, recording this for our bonus show in June, as you know, a lot of negative things have happened in the world and in wrestling. And I really went back to the last TV shoot and AEW thinking, man, here we go again, just bad stuff with wrestling. But once I got back there and everybody started getting together, it brightened everyone's spirits.
Yeah.
We legitimately enjoy each other and have a good time. Now, as we go forward and in the future, it may not always be that way. I mean, things evolve, things change, but right now we're enjoying ourselves and we're enjoying everybody's company, everybody. And just being able to go and do that is really making us feel good about the business again. I wish we could see each other more often than we do. When you coming back to see us?
I don't know, man. I'll be honest. I'm not sure. I mean, the original plan, I won't lie, was to find a way to go down and check out Fyter Fest because I know it's live on the 1st, but the 8th will be taped the week before. And you guys have done a phenomenal job of keeping the spoilers out. But I'm like, man, that would be a cool way to do like July 1st and 2nd and then cruise on home on the 3rd and have a big celebration here on the 4th. That could be great. My parents actually go to the beach that year, on the 4th of July every year. So I was like, maybe I could even just scoot across the state and go do that on the panhandle side. But with all of the rising cases in Florida and so many more new cases every day, I'm starting to think maybe the move is just stay the hell home.
Well, look, I don't want to get into an argument about the COVID and I know it's serious, but cases are rising. The deaths are not.
I'm not worried about dying. I'm worried about my parents getting sick and them dying.
I got that. I understand. But you should still love to see you whenever you can.
Oh no, for sure. You know that. And you're welcome at my house. I know I'm not welcome at yours. Nothing's changed.
That was funny. Okay. Yeah. Okay. Fuck you. So listen, this match started out with side headlock takeovers, slowing it down. And now
listen to the crowd.
A big second win and a cover. No, Sarah, two count.
Man, they're hot though for just regular wrestling.
These two guys have built it up.
Yeah.
They've told a story and they built the thing up and now they're kicking it into high gear from what was slow. I mean, you can't always go in and do the high spots right at the beginning. You can't.
Oh man. I would not want to take one of those electric chairs. That feels like that would be a bad bump.
You're not kidding.
And he kicked out.
Yeah. And I'm sure it's one of those bumps that certainly.
Hey, you know what? If he had longer hair right here, if Steve had longer hair.
Yeah.
In this era, this version, he sure would favor Hangman Page, wouldn't he?
You know, you got something there, man.
I mean, I'm just saying this size. I mean, don't get me wrong. Austin's got a few LBs on him. I mean, but he's real close.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And boy, Hangman has become such a great star. That chant of cowboy shit. And I'm not going to just sit over here and put it over AEW. I want to.
Well, that's all you've done so far.
Skin the cat. Skin the cat. Come on. Skin the cat. That's what I'm talking about. Skin the cat. Oop, got hooked up there.
Hey, what a pro Ricky is, man. That was not the original plan.
Yeah.
And it just didn't work. So he audibled to something else very quickly, very smoothly. Yep. That ought to do it right there.
1, 2 The Dragon Steamboat.
Man, that was a fucking hell of a match.
That was, and a title switch, and I think legitimate crowd reaction, not piped in stuff, crowd reaction.
Shout out to man Carl for recommending this, but let's go ahead and track it. See if we can spot the Easter egg.
Good. Well, fans, welcome back to TBS and the WCW Wrestling All-Nighter. We continue with our countdown, or count up, actually, I should say, the top 10 Clash matches of all time. The Clash of the Champions, of course, a big part of programming here on TBS. Match number 9 takes you back to 1993. Daytona Beach Clash of the Champions. Vader, then the World Heavyweight Champion against the British Bulldog, Davey Boy Smith. And match number 8 in our count up of the top 10 Clash matches takes you back to Jacksonville of this past year, when the natural Dustin Rhodes faced Vader one-on-one, and we're of course with the American Dream Dusty Rhodes, member of the Pro Team. That was a big match for you, son, wasn't it? That match against Vader.
You know, Tony, it was a point of his life and his career where we both felt, me and him talking going into it, that he had to make a statement, whether win, lose, or draw, he had to make a statement. He put on some poundage, maybe 10, 15 pounds. We talked about that on the pro show with the legendary Larry Zbyszko and the Dean Garden Soli and the American Dream Dusty Rhodes Stardust Tower of Power. Anyway, it was a tremendous match for
him. The Hogan foam hand behind him.
To be in
the-
no, I see it.
All right, I'll tell you about it after we listen to Dusty.
I thought you were saying that he said Stardust.
The Hulk Hogan, or whoever the champion is, 1995, lost the match, circumstances beyond his control, Harley Race, but Vader, I think, is the most powerful individual in the game. To stay toe-to-toe to him like he did was something like, I would say, the Washington Redskins staying close to the Dallas Cowboys.
Well, that is nice. That is really nice.
Yeah, I
need to be a Cowboy fan. Do you like that, Bill?
Excuse me, Tony.
Bill Tinsley, our cameraman, a big Cowboy fan.
Wait a minute. I need to move around.
Cares about Bill Tinsley.
My butt is hurting. I've been sitting here for hours. Okay. If my mom's still up in Houston, who you up with, darling?
Okay, let's go back now to...
Mother?
You're talking about filming?
Mother?
What are you talking about?
Gordon, there's your action. Out the window.
Let's take you back now to the Clash of the Champions, 1993. This is match number 9, Vader against the British Bulldog, Davey Boy Smith. Here we go.
All right, so chat me up. What was it about the ear behind him?
You have to go back to the very first one. I welcomed everybody in. There was, where Gene Oakland was sitting, there was a coffee table to his left, and there was a face with a WCW hat on. And then that face was not behind the coffee table, went behind the chair with the Hulk Hogan foam hand. That was Chris Cruz. Motherfucking Chris Cruz.
Mm.
And here's the story about it. We had Chris in various, every time we'd come back, we would show Chris would be doing something else. Okay. So we would be taking a break, and before we would start rolling, and Heenan, knowing that Cruz was there and knowing that Cruz was a big stooge, would make up stories just to see if they would get back in the dirt sheets with Cruz. I don't know if they ever did or not.
Wait, would nudge are you me. Serious?
Oh, yes. Heenan would nudge me.
Wait, hang on. Let me understand.
Okay.
He's become a hot topic this year. during the last 12 months. You're telling me that even back here in 1995, he had a reputation, at least with Bobby Heenan, of being a stooge.
Yes. Big time.
My goodness.
And Heenan would say, he would nudge me and kind of wink at me, and he would say, you know, he would talk about some sort of business deal or contract signing or dispute. And he would, and I knew what he was doing. He was trying to lay the foundation for Chris Cruz to report on something that was not true.
Right.
Now, whether it came back or not, I don't even recall. It could have come back, but Heenan would do that every time we would stop rolling tape. It was hilarious. So anyway, Chris Cruz, you go back to the very first one, you'll see Cruz's face and he's all through that. And, that's enough said about him. But if you go watch this entire show, you're going to see the Mulkey brothers get their win. You're also going to show, the Enforcers against Dustin and Steamboat. I believe that's when Dustin and Steamboat won the title. And then you're going to see some of the old Horseman stuff from TBS. So it was a great show.
I believe that you should wait and watch it with us Christmas Eve. I mean, New Year's Eve.
I would love to.
I think it's going to be great, but you know what? At least for today, Carl, you made my day, man. What a great match. Really love the match. And, just the little nugget of getting to see Tony Schiavone here in 1995, interact with all these other legends, really great stuff. So appreciate that and appreciate your support here on Patreon. We're looking forward to, keeping this thing going for you guys, man. We've built a little community within a community, and we greatly appreciate your support.